Matthew chapter 6 tonight, if we could. Tonight's teaching is inspired really in part by, I'll give credit to David Borg. He's one of the professors down in World Evangelism Fellowship Bible College down there. And at the camp meeting they just had, I saw him on the 8 o'clock morning teaching sessions. And he had shared some things on prayer and things about the Lord's Prayer. And things that I really haven't really thought about too much. And as he began to bring a few things out, I began to write some notes and went a little deeper into it. And I was just feeling that, you know, I want to take a little deeper look at this tonight. And something that we overlook so simply and so often, we're going to look at prayer and the Lord's Prayer and his pattern for prayer. You know, it's important that you and I establish a prayer life. Every true believer needs to talk to God daily, and not just once. Amen. Not just once throughout the day. You'll find when you begin to learn how to talk to God, learn to pray, it becomes second nature. Amen. We don't have to make it more difficult than what it needs to be. Prayer is a privilege. Prayer is something God wants us to do. Talk to God. Amen. And we're going to look at that a little bit tonight here if we could. So let's go to this scripture tonight, Matthew chapter 6, and we'll begin in verse 5 if we could please. Jesus speaking, he says, when you pray, he said, you should not be like the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father, which is in secret. And your Father, which sees in secret, shall reward you openly. But when you pray, do not use vain repetitions like the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not you, therefore, like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. But after this manner, therefore, pray you. And that is, our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And with that, we're going to call this teaching A Deeper Look at the Lord's Prayer, Part 1. Amen. Let's go before the Lord. Father, again, as we look at this simple subject tonight, but a profound subject, Father, we just need the anointing of the Holy Spirit from heaven, even to minister and to teach this word tonight. I thank you for those that have gathered in your name. We thank you for those that are on live stream. We just ask tonight, Lord, that you have your way in this house. Anoint us, touch us, move on us in Jesus' name. And Lord, enable the preacher to teach us the oracles of God, and enable our heart to perceive what is being said here tonight, that it will bless us and encourage us in this vast thing called prayer, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. As I was copying the scripture here tonight, and it's easier for me just to actually look it up in the computer, paste it into my notes here instead of going into the Bible and all this and wrestling with all this stuff up here. So a lot of times, Wednesday nights when I don't seem to be having my Bible out, it's not that I'm not reading the Bible, I just put it in print here, and it's just easier for me to move through this. But as I was doing this, I remember somebody, some time ago, talking about the different translations of Bibles out there and how they can, even in these simple translations, so mess up simple scripture, even like the Lord's Prayer. You know, there's a Bible translation out there called the Message Bible that's becoming very popular. Unfortunately, in full gospel Bible circles, we had somebody here one time years ago that had ministered and quoted some scriptures out of the Message Bible. And we're going to just read this very quickly as a comparison. And before we get into the heart of what I want to talk about tonight, I just want to give you a little lesson on the importance of having a good word-for-word translation. And we like the King James Version. And don't tell me you can't understand it. Thee is thou. It means you. Whithersoever means over there. Amen. You know, it's not so hard to figure out. They tell us that the actual King James is an 8th grade reading level, at least back in the 50s. Now, Now, today that would be, it would take a doctor to probably read it, right? That's what they try to tell us because we've been dumbed down. But this is what the Message Bible says. We just read the text, correct, in the King James? This is the same text in the Message Bible. Listen to this and see if you can even get out of it what we had just read here out of the King James. It says, "The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They are full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God." Now remember, this is supposed to be the words of Jesus. Jesus taught this prayer, didn't he? "Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you are dealing with, and he knows better than you what you need. With God like this loving you, you can pray very simply. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Do what's best. As above, so below. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. You're in charge. You can do anything you want. You're a blazing beauty. Yes, yes, yes." Now you think about that. And we got people that would stand behind a pulpit and quote that verse and think that's a valid interpretation of Scripture. You see, I couldn't even get the Lord's Prayer out of that. I mean, if you were just, I was almost wrestling with the Lord. I thought, okay, should I just read that first and then go into the King James, or should I just read the real text and then go into it and see if the people would even recognize what it is? But it shows you, you know, what's out there. And what people are being fed across the land, you know, from some of these spurious Bible translations. So when you get Pastor Jeff harping on, you know, the importance on having a good Bible, a good word-for-word translation, this is some of the reason behind this. Because, you know, as leadership goes, so go the people. You know, and again, we got to fall in love with simple Scripture and a good word-for-word translation. And so it's very important that we at least start with a good Bible. Amen. So, because that's the only thing that's going to make you free, amen, is to know the Word of God and to know the truth of the Scripture, which is Christ crucified for us. As we look at prayer tonight, first of all, we have to understand that prayer is a privilege benefit for every true believer in Christ. You know, it's very important, as I was saying at the outset here tonight, that you and I develop a prayer life, a prayer time, a time that we meet with God or at least try to talk with God. And for me personally, I just try to get up a little earlier than everybody else in the house. I'll get up at sometimes 6 and sometimes 6:30, sometimes 5:30 or whatever, and that's my time with the Lord. And I'll sit on my couch and I'll have my Bible on my lap. I'll have coffee made and make sure the dog is fed and all this other stuff. I plop down, throw the blanket on my lap, and now it's my time with God. You see, you know, and that's really my prayer closet in a way. And what I have learned there is that just by taking that little bit of time before the Lord, and sometimes it's a half hour, sometimes your day gets interrupted and maybe it's only 10-15 minutes. Some days you might miss that opportunity. But never come under condemnation, because as you're trying to set a prayer time, you know, a time where you're going to meet with God, a time where you're going to take the daily needs, the daily burden, whatever's coming to you that day, that you're able to talk to God. And at that time, I also try to throw the Bible on my lap, and I read systematically through the Scriptures. Right now I'm going through Song of Solomon. And just got into that. I told Liz the other day, I said, man, it's been a while since I read that, but boy, that one plays in my head. that's Solomon's Song of Solomon, you know, where it's all about falling in love and the Shunammite woman and Solomon, and they're playing the little cat and mouse games and all that, you know. And it's really about a type of Christ and his church and the love that we have one for another in Christ, you know, but yet the practical side is there. And but you know, you work through the Scriptures, and that's the way we try to read our Bible, read it systematically, and start and beginning either from the Old Testament or the New Testament, just read through, you know. Sometimes it's a few verses, sometimes a chapter or two, and as you do that, you'll begin to be familiarized with Scripture. A lot of people today, when they read the Bible, they say, well, I don't understand it, I'm not comprehending, I'm not retaining anything. Lay all that aside. It's not about, it is, but hear what I'm trying to say. It's not about you trying to understand the Bible in its entirety in one simple reading. It's impossible. You're not going to get it. But this is what happens. The more you're in it, the more you become familiarized with it. Okay? And now as you're reading it, it's even though you don't think you're retaining much, you're familiarizing yourself with what's being said there. And all of a sudden, you start hearing sermons preached, you'll start hearing things on the radio, you'll hear music, you'll hear somebody talk about something, and all of a sudden, those scriptures now start, the dots start connecting over time, little by little. And many times, when you're just in simple time before the Lord, a scripture will jump out to you. You'll be wondering about something, asking the Lord about something, looking for direction in something, and all of a sudden, a Bible verse will come to life. Amen? And that's how God talks. He talks through his word, and he'll stir something in your heart, and something maybe you're going through or will yet go through, and he's trying to prepare you for what's ahead. Amen. I remember newly saved and never read the Bible in my life. I had a hard time reading a book, you know, much less a Bible. But having newfound faith in Christ, a new heart, born again, I had a hunger for the word of God. I began reading scripture. And I started the New Testament, and I did it every noontime. I'd eat my sandwich at work, and I'd get as far as I could. But I was finding something that I never knew could happen. It was like as I was reading those scriptures, I mean, I was seeing a lot and understanding quite a bit, but at times, a scripture would jump out, and it would deal with me or speak to my heart concerning something that I was asking the Lord about, even in my newfound faith. It was like direction was coming in those scriptures. Some of those scriptures, even to this day, are burned in my heart. It would just light up. I thought, wow, I never knew that was there. Or I'd be asking the Lord about something. All of a sudden, I would just, you know, see the scripture, and it would just, like, answer the question, you know. And so I've learned way back when to have a love for the Word of God. But now with the Word of God, we have to learn how to talk to God, too. All right, you need a word life, but you need a prayer life also. So I just want to encourage everybody here tonight that, you know, as full gospel Bible believers, we need time with God. You need time with your Heavenly Father. Amen? And as I said here in my first note here tonight, first of all, prayer is a privilege benefit for every true believer in Christ. Prayer is really a dialogue with deity. Think about that. It's a dialogue with deity. Who are you talking to when you're praying? Amen. Liz and I will have some times where we're having a good talk, good conversation. But prayer time, she's not talking to me. I'm not talking to her. I'm talking to my Heavenly Father. I'm talking to God. And there's only one God, one true God. Think about that. You see, this is the one thing I think we got to look at this, and that's why we're revisiting this. Prayer isn't just a quick repetition. Get your time in with the Lord. Just say a few things. Talk to God because I'm supposed to. And pastor says I better develop a prayer life. So I'm trying to sit there and think, okay, what do I say? You know, we're looking at the pattern of prayer here. And first of all, we've got to understand that when you're praying, you're talking and communing with deity. You're communing with deity. You're communing with Almighty God. And there's communication now between the two parties. Amen. You know, and another thing I guess we got to understand too is when you're in prayer, always know that you're not to pray based on your feelings or emotions. That's where Satan gets us all the time. Because you'll start praying and in your mind you feel like your prayers are going nowhere. Satan will convince you you're just talking with yourself at times because you're not feeling something. Most of the time you will feel something. You'll sense you're connecting with the Lord, but don't get hung up on those feelings because those feelings are fleeting. They don't always feel like it. But God said, if I pray, he's hearing me, especially in Jesus' name. Amen? And so understand that tonight. You're talking and communing with deity. Talk to God. He's Almighty God. And realize that now as you're praying, there's a communication going on between the two parties. Prayer is also meant, according to what Jesus was teaching us here in his text here, that prayer is meant to be very private, very intimate. It's private. It's intimate. Do you realize in prayer that you can share things with God that you can't share with no other human being? The burdens of your heart, the concerns of your heart. Amen. It's not that you can't talk to others about these things, but that's the only source that can actually give you some real help in return. Amen. So realize that prayer is meant to be very private, very intimate, and it's never to be as an outward show or form. We're never to fall into the trap of prayer becoming a form or a ritual. Because as we serve the living God, And as true Christianity is a relationship with the living God, then prayer should be living also. There's no formalities in true Christianity, amen? And so understand this tonight, that as we pray, where it may be a short time, maybe five, six minutes maybe with the Lord, and you feel you're talked out. But then sometimes you can just sit quiet in His presence. Amen? I can't tell you the joy that a person can feel at times when you've shared your heart. You know, listen, it's the old cliche, sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. There's times you feel like talking, there's times you don't. There's times you got a lot on your heart, there's times you ain't got much. You know, but it doesn't matter. You're before the Lord, you're talking to Him, and if it's even short-lived, now you can take a little time just sitting in His presence. Amen. Amen. Sitting and basking in His love. I don't want to use the word soaking, like the charismatic world says, you know, just soak in His presence. I don't like that. But there's times you can just sit quiet and be still and know that He is God. Amen. So there's a place where we can be still. But also understand that prayer is also a privilege, for we pray to the living God. True Christianity is the only, if I can categorize it as religious practice, that is actually talking to a living God. Do you realize that all the prayers, those poor Muslims, when they're bowing five times a day, they're talking to themselves, or they're praying to demons, they don't even realize it, but there's nobody on the other end of the line. There's no God there that can hear them and care about their prayer. There's only one true deity, one true entity that is God, and that's Almighty God, Jehovah. Amen? There's no other God. Like the word says, you know, beside Him there is none else. There's only one God, but you and me, as blood-washed children of God, have the privilege of going before Him and talking with the God that created this outer space, the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land, that created man, all the things that are therein. He created the stars, calls them all by name. You're talking to that very one. Amen? Communing with Him by going to prayer. Praise the Lord. Jesus recommends that we pray in hiding, that we pray shut in, free from the outward distractions. That's why He said, go into the closet and shut the door. You know, that's why you got to be careful. You know, don't get me wrong. You can pray any place, anywhere. All right? But He's talking about that quiet time, that time where it's just you and Him. And I am finding is that the world gets darker. I'm finding I have to have more time with Him. There are times sometimes in the middle of my day I'll have to stop my work and I'll just find a place to go sit, and then I'll sit and talk to Him because there's things in my heart. Things I'm concerned about, things I'm asking Him for. Amen? And realize the privilege you and I have as true blood-washed Christians to come before Him and talk to Him. But He said, shut yourself in. Hide yourself. You know, don't even bring the cell phone with you. I'll guarantee you'll start having a good time with the Lord and that goofy thing will start ringing. It'll probably be a telemarketer or something too. You know, it'll be some foolish phone call that could have been put off. You know, but there's time. Shut the TV off. Shut the distractions off. Shut the music off. Amen. You know, get alone with God. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. He wants to hear from you. You realize that tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. Realize too, be careful of empty repetition. Be careful of hollow words. Resuscitations, chantings, prayer's not that. You know, we got religions saying, say this prayer. You'll see things posted in the newspaper, pray this prayer and this will happen. You know, say this prayer seven times and this will come to pass. That's vain repetition. God does not honor that. God never honors vain repetition. And even hollow words, you know, trying to pray eloquently, praying in King James. Oh, thou wast my Father in heavenest. You know, God isn't looking for that. So there's times you just come in, you go, help. You go, God, Lord. You know, there's just times, just come boldly into that throne room of grace. And He's there. You know, like the old song says, you know, royal telephone, you know, He's central's never busy. He's always got an open line. You can talk to Him 24/7. Amen. He'll never put you on hold. Amen. You'll never get a busy signal.
Amen. God is there. God is there. And friend, let me tell you something. Once we learn to start taking more time with the Lord, the very burdens of our heart, those things that we carry, God will start giving us a relief for them. That we can take on our day in His grace. We'll find strength and help in our time of need. And we'll find the strength that we need, and He'll subdue our emotions at times too. Because I've cast my burden on the Lord, see, and He's helping me. So as we look at this, we're talking about prayer being the privilege of the child of God. So we're kind of going through what Jesus was talking about, but as we get into this prayer, we're going to see, you know, some of the common things that trip us up, and if we're not careful, we stop praying because it's become too hard for us. Because somehow I just never seem to get it right. Amen. And friend, don't think that prayer is an easy thing. That's why so few do it. That's why so few talk to God. Amen. Because Satan is right there to trip you up and to discourage you and get you to feel that God ain't hearing you anyway. Or you'll do it for a little while and then all of a sudden, well, it didn't do me much good. And so you give up and you just quit and you just forget it. You know, but we got to get beyond those emotions and just get back to the privilege of prayer. Get back to that. Prayer is not, how can we say it this way? What Jesus was talking about here, He said, when you pray. And this is what I caught from Brother Borg. It's not if we pray, it's when we pray. Because every true believer does pray. Okay? So understand that tonight. You know, it's not so much that we're harping on you that you never pray, but Jesus is even saying when you pray. And it tells us that every believer is to pray, is to talk to God. And remember, prayer is communication. Prayer is communication. We hear the word and it just sounds scary sometimes because we have busy lives. You know, but prayer is communication. Talk to your Heavenly Father. And realize that all prayer, true prayer, is always to be prayed from the heart. Bear your heart to God. Why? He cares for you. He cares about every detail of your life. Every detail. Every little detail of your life. He cares about. And if it's important to you, it's important to your Heavenly Father. Amen? See, you know, and it's refreshing just to hear this over and over, to realize that, wow, I can pray. I can talk to God. I can go to Him. I can unburden my heart. Amen? But pray from the heart. You know, we do our best to preach from the heart, but pray from the heart. Amen? Hallelujah. And He'll never reject your prayer. Praise the Lord. Second point here tonight, Jesus teaches us that all true prayer will be openly rewarded. That's another good reason to pray. Jesus promised that when you pray, and when you pray in secret, there will be some indicators, some things that others will notice, and you will notice, because you have taken time with God. And I found this interesting. I was pondering this a little bit today. He that prays in secret, Jesus said, your Heavenly Father will reward you openly. So what does that mean? That means when I pray, I'll win the lottery. Everybody will see it. Not necessarily. Amen. He's not really talking about that. I was really pondering that. He teaches us that all true prayer will be rewarded openly. So what will be the noticeable things? What will be the open reward? Well, part of it is that we'll be at more peace. I'll be at peace. I don't know, but every single time my heart is burdened, every single time, I have found this in 30-some years of living for Jesus, that whenever I can talk to Him and take my burden to Him, the burden is released of my heart. And I can find peace again for the moment, for the day. Amen? I mean, other things will come up through the day that can steal your peace. I'm not saying that, but what I'm trying to say is that when you have things on your heart and you go to prayer, one of the open rewards is that you went in flustered, you come out, you're at peace. Amen? It's almost like you've had a total change of disposition. Ever notice that? You'll go and flustered, you want to kick the dog or whatever like that. You go and talk to Jesus for 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 3 minutes or whatever. You walk out of that thing, you just want to love everybody. Amen? Amen? Isn't that the way it is? You feel so at peace. You just feel like, ah. You feel at rest. Boy, does this feel great. You know, that's what he's talking about. Jesus is saying if you learn to pray in secret, you'll have some open rewards that you will notice and others will notice. Amen? Amen. Some of this, think about it. We'll be at peace. We'll find ourselves more stable. We'll be encouraged. We'll be find ourselves hopeful when there was no hope a moment ago. Amen? This is talking about the open reward. Jesus said, pray in secret. You'll have some open rewards. I can find peace. I can be more stable in my emotions, my character, my personage, if you want to say. Amen? I'll find myself more hopeful where there's situations going on where there's little hope at all. I'll find myself in faith. I find myself in fellowship with God. Amen? This is all part of the open reward. Amen? This is all being rewarded openly. You know, yes, it does cover answered prayer and things that come to pass because you've prayed. That's all part of it too. The open reward, we'll see more of the grace of God at work in your life for the day. Amen? We'll see His power upon our life. We'll see answered prayer. We'll find our circumstances will more so together for good than they would have without taking it to the Lord. See, when I learn to call on God, when I learn to take it to the Lord, when I learn to just talk to Jesus, you know, from my heart, amen. You know, and there's times when you're praying, you know, sometimes you got pent-up emotion. Hello? You know, I'm an emotional person. You know, I could write the book on that. But there are times where we're flustered, we're worked up. You know, well, what do we do? And if we're not careful, we'll vent out on those around us. Instead of taking that burden to the Lord, that concern, that very thing that's troubling us, that's making us feel that way, and take that to Him and get the release. Tell Him all about it, and the open reward will be, amen, 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 hallelujah. Just from simple prayer, and this is what Jesus said. That's why it's the model prayer. That prayer, you know, we pray it at funerals, we'll pray it at weddings, we'll pray it before we go to bed at night sometimes, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, that kind of thing. You know, it can be prayed that way, and it's meant to be prayed that way somewhat, but it's really an outline. It's really an outline of how true prayer should be, that it would cover all these things. We'll get into that a little bit, but as we look at the open reward here a little farther, you know, circumstances will work out for us for the better if we are talking to God in secret. That's part of the open reward. The open reward is another thing here. Think about it. Mountains will be removed. The valleys you find yourself in will be exalted. Crooked things will be made straight. Doors will open, and sometimes doors will close that need to close. You know, sometimes we're always looking at God for that open door. Sometimes God needs to close some doors, right? But because we're going to Him, God is more, it's not that God is not active in our life, but because we're praying and because we're scripturally coming to the Lord and we're in communion with the Lord, now that whole thing flows better. The day flows better. The will of God flows better. Amen? The help that God has, the grace God has, it can flow. Listen, they say with the beavers, you know, they'll chop those trees and cut them down, and they'll dam up a brook, a river, and they'll stop the flow of that thing. If we don't pray, if we don't talk to God, if we don't start communing with the Lord, then we don't have the moving of the Holy Spirit as we ought to have. Amen? Because we're not hearing, we're not as sensitive, we're not as attuned to what God is wanting to do through our daily day. Amen? You see the importance of that. So as we look at this, doors will open, doors will close. There'll be new opportunities will present themselves. We'll see a greater hand of God on our life. We'll find a greater sensitivity to the voice of God. Amen? We'll even grow closer to the Lord. Our burdens can be released. Our complaints can be heard and remedied. Amen. Just because we learn how to talk to God. See? Amen. We'll even find an open reward. We'll even at times be forewarned of danger, evil. Amen. God will make you more sensitive to things around you. God will forewarn you. God will warn you, don't get involved with that. Stay away from that. Amen? Amen? You know, that we, without prayer, would have just maybe dove right into. Because, listen, the Bible's the answer for all things. I do believe that. But there are events in life that sometimes you don't have a specific verse for. Now, if you're in prayer, sometimes God will use other verses to kind of let you feel like, no, stay away from that. Amen? You know, it makes you more sensitive to what that word is trying to tell you, to warn you of the danger to come. So, you know, there's times of that too. That's part of the open reward, amen? And also, the open reward is part of, we'll see an increased revelation of God's word to our heart. Amen. Amen. This is just all from talking to God a little bit. Amen. You know, I came up years ago just because of zeal. You know, we used to think the quantity of prayer was the important. So I would try to pray 2 hours a day or 3 hours a day, or, you know, and then the sermons would come and about the super preacher that preaches 8 hours a day. And, you know, I had a friend of mine that told me, he got on that kick one time and he started praying 3 and 4 hours a day. He said, God is my witness. He says, I thought I was going to be destroyed by the powers of hell. He said, I kept praying and praying and praying. I don't know what I was getting into, but man, as I kept praying and praying and praying and praying and praying, he said, the oppression, the demonic activity, the things that I say, he said, you know, because, listen, when you're praying, you are talking to deity, but if your mind wanders, your heart wanders, and you're not in the right motive, you know, even a believer, you know, you can, you know, what do they do at seances? They call spirits up. You know, there's powers of hell and darkness. See, when we get unscriptural in something, then that door of error opens, and with every error, there's a demon entity. So if I think by my much praying, in the quantity of my praying, which is unscriptural, and I start going that direction, I'm opening myself up to something unscriptural, and the more I step out of, like, let's say this platform is the will of God for my life and I'm abiding in truth. But if I wander from the truth in any point of my Christianity and I get out here just a little bit, guess what? This is the safety net over here. See, now I'm open game. Because for whatever reason, I'm thinking by doing something over here, I'm going to get God to do something more for me on the other end. Well, you got to get back to truth and get back in the protection of the truth of the Word of God. Amen. So we got to be careful of that too. I don't think any of us here have that problem that we're trying to pray 4, 5, 6, 10 hours a day just to prove something. And a lot of times those guys just want to do it and prove it so they can preach about it, make everybody else feel guilty, and make themselves feel more spiritual than everybody else. They're not praying because they're wanting a move of God. They're praying because they want a great prayer life they can boast in. That's why I love the cross. Boy, it just exposes every single motive. It lays bare all the pride, all the spiritual pride, hoopla. Amen? Amen? So understand tonight. He says we'll be rewarded openly if we can get alone with Him. We'll be forewarned. We'll see the evil coming. We'll have a greater revelation of God's Word to our heart. So Jesus teaches us the correct way to pray, but it's an outline, and understand that. You know, we can pray the prayer, our Father who art in heaven, that kind of thing. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, you know, and go through that. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I'll be honest with you, before I was ever saved, I used to pray that every night before I went to bed. I'd lay in bed and I would pray that prayer every night in my unregenerate condition. Because I was kind of brought up in the Lutheran faith thing we were in, that, you know, we were always taught to pray that. You always pray that prayer. I had a desire for the things of God, I feel. I did believe in God, but not according to truth. Like many in the denominations, they claim to want God, desire God, but they have no hunger for truth. They just get locked into the system they're in. And even though it's Christianity, that's their system, it's not the truth of Christianity. It's a form of Christianity. It's a hybrid of what true Christianity is, you see. And millions are locked into that tonight. Amen. And so understand, by praying, even the Lord's Prayer, it's not that it won't bless you, it will. Even if the best you can do is just say, Our Father who art in heaven, if you say it sincerely and mean it from your heart, you'll still be blessed. But Jesus wasn't teaching it as a repetition prayer. He wasn't teaching this to say, okay, just say this
pray these words. You know, today we get hung up, we'll write books on it, the prayer Jabez. Say that prayer, you know. So how many of us remember that prayer Jabez, those little books that went all over the place? Pray this prayer, you know. Well, that's great, but that was Jabez's prayer. What's your prayer? What's your prayer? That was his. What's yours? Amen? See, again, from the heart. Now, does it hurt to pray the prayer of Jabez? The essence of it, no. Amen. You know, there's nothing wrong with that, as is the Lord's Prayer. But the Lord's Prayer wasn't really meant to be a repetition. It wasn't meant to be an incantation. It was meant to be an outline. When you pray, these are the points that you should talk to your Heavenly Father about. That's what that really means. So after this manner, pray you, Jesus said. So it means pray like this. Like this. Not word for word, but like this. So the Lord's Prayer is not so much to be made for repetition, but it's a model. And then he begins now with our Father who art in heaven. Amen. We'll probably just get through this one because I want to get out of here by 8 here so you can all get home and go pray. Amen. Amen. While it's fresh in your spirit. Amen. Let's begin with this one tonight. Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father, which art in heaven. Jesus here is portraying the fatherhood of God. And God is seen as our true Father. Amen. Do you realize you have a Father in heaven? That God who is deity, God who is almighty God, would for your my benefit take on the label or the role as your father. Amen. We've all had fathers in our life. Many of us have loved our fathers. Some of us couldn't stand him because of whatever that father was like. But our heavenly father is different than our earthly father. For our heavenly father loves us with a perfect love. And is no respecter of persons. He's not partial to you. He doesn't have a favorite sibling out of his family, and you're not it. See? You're not the middle child. You're not the eldest. You're not the youngest. You're his child. Amen? And as we look at this a little bit tonight, Jesus portrays the fatherhood of God, and so God is seen as our true father. And our denotes that, first of all, he's my father, but even Jesus referred to him as his father. Think about that tonight. Jesus didn't say, pray to say, your father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Jesus included himself in there and said, pray like this. He's our father. He's our father who is in heaven. And our also denotes corporately. He's all of our Father if we're in Christ. If we're all in Christ by simple faith in Jesus, he's our Father. Meaning he has no favorites. Meaning he loves us all the same. Meaning that he'll listen to all of us the same. And he is concerned with all of us the same. Think about that tonight. Amen. That you've not been pushed off on the side here and he's going to do something great for Brother Ron, but he's going to push the rest of you off because, well, that's Ron is the focus of his attention now. We can all right now go to our Father, and because he's omnipresent, he can treat us all the same and listen to us all the same. God is the best multitasker. Amen. I still struggle with some of that multitask. Some people are really good at that, but boy, I get one tracked, you know what I mean? But God can divide himself in a sense that all get equal attention when they want it and when they desire it. Amen. Our Father in heaven. And so it denotes that God is our Father. He's my Father. He was also Jesus' Father. But God is a personal Father to each believer individually and corporately. Even Paul in Romans 8 would say, that's why we call him Abba Father. Abba means mine. He's mine. He's personal. He is my Father. Amen? You know, the shame is there's people today that will not serve Jesus Christ and serve the Lord because they relate God
to being like their earthly father. And unfortunately, some of the earthly fathers, they're demons from hell. And unfortunately, those kids grow up in that and they never have an understanding of the nurturing heart, the love that a true father has in developing and nurturing his children and seeing them develop for good. Amen. Amen. Jesus called them our Father. Pray to our Father. God as Father portrays his headship. It portrays his authority and his position over me. And God as Father reveals also my need for submission to his leading and his will and his providence concerning me. See, you're not out there navigating your life trying to figure out which way to go and how this goofy life works. There is a heavenly Father who's superintending and presiding over your life. Think about that. So when Jesus was saying our Father, it wasn't just, okay, he's my Father in heaven. It was the thought of, really ponder that. The fatherhood of God in your life. Amen? You know, and so when Brother Borg was bringing a few things like this, I got thinking about that. You know, I never really thought about it that deep. You know, and so the other day in prayer, I'm going to walk through the Lord's Prayer, right? Okay. So I'm going to pray like that. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to see, you know, what that's all about. And I got hung up on our Father in heaven, and I got pondering my Father in heaven and the reality of my Father in heaven and that he's watching over me and that he's loving me and that he's there for me and he's concerned about my good. And he's not there to hurt me. He's there. I can trust him. See, I began pondering all of this. And I thought, man, you know, I've never really taken that much time and thought about that too deep. But that for every one of us, he is our Father in heaven and cares about every one of us. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Let's tidy this up quick here. God as Father portrays his headship, his authority, his position over me. It portrays my need to submit to his lead. It shows me that I need to be concerned with his will and his providence concerning me, because God's plans for you and for me are good plans. They're good plans. If you're struggling with walking in the will of God or walking in the truth of God's word or doing his will and thinking he's going to stick you in the back of Mud Lake somewhere and, you know, no. Do you realize your talents, your interests, your aptitudes, your likes, your desires are all incorporated into his will? He designed you to be that way. God isn't going to put you in something you can't stand being in over time. Now, he might have you in things you don't like. Joseph was in prison for 13, 18 years, whatever it was. He didn't like that. But God was using that to form him for the better days that were coming. Amen. So we got to understand, sometimes God's will, his providence over me, leads me into some very difficult times and seasons of my life for the purpose of development, correction, chastening, whatever I need, because I can tend to be a spoiled little brat and I always like my own way. Amen. You know, and I don't like things when like they say, you can pet a cat, but rub its fur backwards, it'll bite you. You know, there's times I've bit the hand of God. You know, he rubs that fur the wrong way. I don't like it. You know? Come on, I'm just being honest. Amen. You know, but as I learn that his will for me is good, and if I having come through this thing in 30 years, I can look back now. Now I can see it more clearer. But the things that I went through that I thought were destroying my life, the things that I thought, where is his love for me? Why is he allowing this in my life? I realize now, going back, that those seasons that I couldn't make heads or tails out of, but one decision I made, I'm going to stick with Jesus. I'm going to stay in the house of God. I'm going to keep rank. I'm going to go on with God no matter what. And just by making that decision, I can look back and realize that there were things in my life that pressure not only revealed to me as a weakness that I needed his help, his mercy there,
that I needed more of his nurturing grace there. But I also had to learn that there were mindsets that God had to change in me. There were those areas of comfort where I was comforted in a certain thing that wasn't pleasing to the Lord. Certain attitudes, certain ways. Our ways aren't always pleasing to the Lord. He loves us, but our ways. So how does he change your ways? You hear a message on it, and that's it. You got it. Now you go out, and you got it forever. Nope, it don't work that way. God, because he's a perfect heavenly Father, watching the development of your life and my life, has to sometimes ordain circumstances that will put a pressure, that will bring us into where that pressure reveals the unbelief, the self-pride, self-exaltation, wrong motives, wrong attitudes, the wrong desires that you never knew were lurking below the surface of your heart and life until the pressure came. Amen? It's the same thing when Peter told Jesus, I'll die with you, I'll go to prison with you, I'll go to the cross with you, and a little girl stands there and says, weren't you with him? He goes, no, I never knew the man. Oh, you know, he never knew that was there. In his will, in his mind, I can do this. Jesus was showing, you can't do nothing. And I want you to see the pride of your own heart. He couldn't even stand up to a little damsel. Amen. So I want to encourage you, your Father in heaven knows what's best for you. You may not like your circumstances today, but believe me, in time, all those things that you've come through and the lessons you've had to learn will prepare you for the greater thing God has for you, that without that season, you would not be ready for the good thing that God really was trying to prepare you for. Amen. Amen. So understand that tonight. Hallelujah. Glory. Wow. He reveals my need for submission to his lead, his will, his providence. But God as my Father also declares his nature as he who will love me, will nurture me, will nourish me, and will develop me. My Father in heaven portrays his place in eternity, his providence, and his position as Lord of all and over all creation. No God or other deity can be higher or more exalted than the one true living God, who is your and my Father. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We're going to stop there tonight, and we'll go through the rest of this prayer as next week or two, and so this is part one. But I hate to say the word try this, but try this. Next time you're alone with the Lord, say, my Father, and ponder that thought. What does that mean to you? What does that mean in your heart concerning him? And I'll bet you get hung up there for a little bit, amen, as you're pondering that. Because some of you need to know you're not alone, that you are loved and God cares about you, God's watching over your life, and that he does have a plan, amen. And all things will work together for your good in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Father, again, tonight we just thank you so much for those, again, that have gathered in your name. And it's our heart tonight, Lord. Lord, that you bless every individual. That you bless them and show them, reveal to them the nature of who you are as Father tonight. Father, your word says we come to you in Jesus' name. And we have an immediate audience with you, Lord. Father, we just pray tonight, help us to pray. Help us take time with you. Help us to release our burdens to you. And Lord, to be fed, nurtured from above in Jesus' name.